Good evening, Grace Baptist Church. And, it's good to be with you this evening. And if you're not even normally in our usual congregation, it's good to have you with us. And we're glad to be here, even though it's less than ideal circumstances. We're glad that we can still meet around God's Word and learn from His Word. I'll ask you to turn in your Bibles this evening to the ninth chapter of the book of Hebrews, please, if you will. Hebrews chapter 9, and verse number 13 down to verse number 14 will be our text for this evening. And I just encourage you, if you're with us this evening, to get your Bibles out and to read along for yourself, to make sure that you're reading the text and the scriptures that we look at this evening. A wise man once said that if you can only remember one thing from the sermon, always remember the text, because that's what God said. The preacher, at the best of times, no matter how eloquent he is or how practiced he is doing his best to explain what he thinks God meant. But the scripture is what God said, and it's what holds authority. So I'd encourage you this evening to make sure you got your Bibles out and make sure you're reading along with us. Just got to drink water while I preach, so I'll just ask your forgiveness for that. Alright, Hebrews chapter 9 and verse number 13. For if the blood of bulls and of goats and the ashes of an heifer sprinkling the unclean sanctifieth to the purifying of the flesh, how much more, I really want you to get that into your heads this evening, that phrase, how much more shall the blood of Christ, who through the eternal Spirit offered himself without spot to God, purge your conscience from dead works to serve the living God. Let's seek the Lord's help and blessing upon his word this evening. Father, we are grateful that we can come into the presence of a holy God by the blood of the Lord Jesus Christ. Father, we pray this evening, Lord, that you would bless your word as it goes out to the hearts of those that listen. Father, we don't know the needs of those who hear this, Lord, but you know every single one, Lord. And we're praying this evening that you would, Lord, help these people, Lord, minister your word to their hearts, Father, that they might, Lord, be changed by your word, that they might be drawn closer to you, Father, we ask in Jesus' name. Amen. Hebrews chapter 9 and verse 13 down to 14. Throughout the book of Hebrews, the writer is continually emphasizing, this book is written to Jewish people, and the writer is continually emphasizing to these people how much greater the Lord Jesus is. Okay, in chapter 1, we see that the Lord Jesus is greater than the prophets. The writer emphasizes to the people in chapter 2 that the Lord Jesus is greater than angels. Now, I want you to remember that these things that the writer is talking about are very, sacred to the Jewish people. They're very a big part of the Jewish religion. And so, when the Lord Jesus, when the writer of Hebrews, by the direction of the Holy Spirit, tells these people that the Lord Jesus is greater, you have to understand that this is not an easy thing to get their head around, because angels were a huge part of the Jewish religion. That's how God spoke to prophets, and that's how God delivered messages. And in chapter 3, we see that he is greater than Moses. And that's a huge thing for Jewish people, because Moses was a very notable leader in the Jewish religion. Chapter 4, we see that the Lord Jesus is of a greater priesthood than Aaron. And here we have a comparison. And I want you to consider with me this evening, our theme is a greater sacrifice. And here we have a comparison. Verse number 12 is talking about the sacrifices of the old law. And in verse number 13 is talking about the sacrifices of the old law. Verse number 14 is the sacrifice of Christ. And that's our theme this evening, a greater sacrifice. We want to consider three headings in regards to this topic. We want to look at the reason for it, the sufficiency of it, and we want to finish by talking about our response to it. the reason for it. Before we can examine how sufficient Christ's sacrifice is, we really need to refresh, or we need to make sure we understand why we need a sacrifice. Because for a Christian, but especially for a lost person, the blood of Christ holds no value until they see their natural standing before God. Without seeing where we stand before God without Christ, we don't see the blood of Christ to hold any value. But we need to make sure that we understand how we stand naturally before God. And I'm sure even if you're not from our church, if you witness to people or if you talk to people, quite often they'll ask the question of why Christ? Why the cross? And that's a good question. That's an important question, and sometimes we don't really answer it in the best way that we could, but if we allow Scripture to answer it, it makes it very clear. Romans chapter 3 says, as it is written, there is none righteous, reading from verse number 10. We're not going to turn to all the references this evening because we haven't got time. I'll tell you if we are going to turn to them. But you can pause this video and go back over it if you want to see these references. Romans chapter 3, beginning at verse 10, says, as it is written, there is none righteous, no, not one. There is none that understandeth, there is none that seeketh after God. They have all gone out of the way. They are together become unprofitable. There is none that doeth good, no, not one. So we can see very clearly how we stand before God without Christ. And we need to understand the holiness of God and sin, okay? Because sin is, unfortunately today, it's falsely preached. It's preached totally contrary to the Bible. And these apostate organizations that teach that sin is just an inconvenience to experiencing God's blessing on your life, that's wrong. Okay, sin is spitting in the face of a thrice holy God. It's much more serious than just a mere inconvenience. All right, it's incredibly serious, and God demands a blood sacrifice for sin. So, because man has sinned, in verse 23 of the same chapter, it says, "For all have sinned and come short of the glory of God." Because man has sinned, he cannot be in fellowship with God, because God and man cannot be in fellowship while there is sin. It's impossible. Sin must be dealt with before God and man can be in fellowship. And previous to Christ, the system was implemented by God on Mount Sinai to Moses that we call the Mosaic Law. And in that law, there was a system of sacrifices that you would follow in order to be right with God. Hebrews chapter 10, if you would turn there this evening, and we're just going to have a look at these sacrifices a little bit more in-depthly. Hebrews chapter 10 and verse number 1, reading down to verse number 4. For the law, having a shadow of good things to come, and not the very image of the things, can never with those sacrifices which they offered year by year continually make the comers thereunto perfect. For then would they not have ceased to be offered, because that the worshippers once purged should have no more conscience of sins. But in those sacrifices there is a remembrance again made of sins every year. Excuse me. For it is not possible, I want you to note this verse please, it is not possible that the blood of bulls and of goats should take away sins. Let me illustrate this to you a little bit. Come with me in your mind to the tabernacle in Israel. We're in Israel and we're in the wilderness. This is before Israel has got to the temple, and we're still in the wilderness, and you've sinned against God, and you've been smitten in your heart, and you have to be right with God. You have to be right with God. Now, to be right with God, you would go and you would get a lamb. If you have a flock of sheep, you would go and get a lamb, or if you didn't have a flock of sheep, you'd buy a lamb. But we'll just say you have a flock of sheep, you'd go and get a lamb, and you would take that lamb. Now, that lamb hasn't done anything. You like that lamb. You possibly were going to give that lamb to your kids or something like that. But that lamb's got to die because you have to be right with God. So you'd take that lamb and you would trudge through Israel. Right now, the tabernacle is in the center and Israel is encamped around about it in the tribes in a circle. And you'd go towards the tabernacle and you'd line up. Now, listen to me. You're not just by yourself. Okay, there's hundreds of people that need to be right with God. And some people are in a line and not all of them have sin offerings. Some of them might have free will offerings and they might have just had a great crop, or they might have had a healthy baby, or and they're just there to praise God and give a free will offering. But you've got a sin offering. There's other people with sin offerings, and people have got these lambs and the lambs are bleating. They're scared. They don't know what's happening. And you're anxious. You're pacing around while you wait till you can go into the tabernacle. Your conscience is eating at you because you need to be right with God. You must be right with God. And it comes your turn. And you come to the door at the tabernacle. And the priest asks you, and you come into the enclosure, the fence that surrounds the tabernacle. By the way, I should have explained that. The tabernacle is where the service of God is carried out before Israel went to the promised land and built the temple. And you went into the tabernacle and the priest said, "What have you done?" And you say, "Man, I just got angry." So you would get the lamb, you would set it down, you'd put your hands on the lamb, and you would confess your sin. Then the priest would slay that lamb. He would catch the blood of that lamb, and he would go and offer it upon the altar. And he would come to you, and he would say, "By Jehovah's word, you are forgiven. Your sin is covered." And you go away from there joyful. And you're happy. Now you're right with God. You go home and you do the same thing. And you get another lamb and you have to repeat the same process. And then next week you do the same thing, or you do a different sin. You get another lamb. You have to repeat the same process. Because what did our text say? Or what did the scripture say in verse 4? It is not possible that the blood of bulls and of goats should take away sins. See, the blood of animals cannot purge the sin of human beings. It could cover the sin. The law was always temporary. It was never God's final plan to deal with sin. It was never God's ideal. The law was never God's plan. It came as a result of Israel's disobedience to a holy God. But God never intended to deal with sin by the law. He intended to deal with sin by the cross. But you can see the implications of this sacrifice, because every time you sin, you have to go and you have to get another lamb and another sacrifice. But friends, I want to tell you this evening, as we examine this subject in the Bible, we have a sacrifice that does more than cover sin. John the Baptist had it right when he said in John chapter 1 and verse 29, "Behold the Lamb of God which taketh away the sins of the world." The Lord Jesus did more than cover sins. So that's the reason for it, that the Old Testament sacrifices could not take away sin. They could simply cover it. Turn back with me, if you will, to our text. That's just back up the road from chapter 10, back to chapter 9, to verse 13. So we want to look at now the sufficiency of it. We looked at the reason for it. Now the sufficiency of it. Why was Christ's sacrifice greater than the blood of bulls and of goats? So we want to examine why it's greater and how it's greater. Why it's greater in verse 14, how much more shall the blood of Christ? That's the reason why it's greater, friends. The reason why it is greater than the Old Testament sacrifices is because it is the blood of the eternal Son of God. It is not the blood of a created creature like a lamb or a goat or an ox. It's the blood of the Lord Jesus Christ. Hebrews chapter 9 and verse 26, I'll read it to you, puts it this way. "For then must he often have suffered since the foundation of the world." This is talking about the Lord Jesus Christ. "But now once in the end of the world hath he appeared to put away sin by the sacrifice of," I want you to notice that word, "of himself." When the Lord Jesus Christ came into the world, he didn't offer a lamb. He didn't offer a goat. He didn't take a turtle dove or any of the other animals used for offering. He didn't take that to the altar. He offered himself. He took himself and he gave himself as an offering for our sin. So that's why it's greater, because it is the Lord Jesus Christ that was the offering. But how is it greater? In what way is it more sufficient than the Old Testament sacrifices? Well, first of all, I want you to notice three things this evening. Christ's sacrifice on the cross of Calvary was number one. all sufficient. I want you to listen to me now. All sufficient for all sin. Amen. Hebrews chapter 10 and verse 12. If you got a notepad with you or paper, if you take notes, take notice of these verses. Write them down. These are essential Bible doctrines. It's absolutely essential. This is a big word for it is substitutionary atonement. You can call it the finished work of Christ. I like that. I like that term. And this is essential for it. You cannot properly understand it unless you get these verses. Hebrews chapter 10 and verse 12 says, "But this man, after he had offered one sacrifice for sins forever, sat down on the right hand of God." After he'd offered one sacrifice for sins forever, sat down on the right hand of God. So that means that the Lord, say I've committed 9,516,214 sins in my lifetime. That means God got 9 million, I can't remember the number I used, but 9,516,242 sins. All of my sins, he put them all upon Christ. Christ was judged, condemned, and killed for all of my sins. Absolutely, completely, totally judged for my sin and for your sin. 1 John chapter 1 and verse 7 says it like this. The Lord tells us, "But if we walk in the light, as he is in the light, we have fellowship one with another, and the blood of Jesus Christ cleanseth us from," how much sin? All sin. 1 John chapter 1 and verse 9, "If we confess our sins, he is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all," does that word again, "all unrighteousness." He didn't just deal with some sin. When you brought a sacrifice, that sacrifice worked for that sin. But the Lord Jesus Christ, his sacrifice dealt with all sin. Every bit of sin you've ever committed. You don't know me, preacher. You don't know me. You don't know how hard I am. Listen to me. The Lord Jesus Christ died for your sins, no matter how hard, no matter how bad they are. The Lord Jesus Christ took them upon himself and was judged, condemned, and killed for them. So first of all, it is all sufficient for all sin. Second, it is all sufficient for all sinners. In Israel, back to our illustration, when you sinned and you took an offering to the tabernacle or to the temple, that offering was good, or it was sufficient for you, and it worked for you. The Passover, when Israel left Egypt, that blood sprinkled on the door, that was sufficient for the household. The Day of Atonement, when the high priest entered once into the holiest of holies with blood from a sacrifice, put it upon the mercy seat, that was sufficient for Israel. But the sacrifice of the Lord Jesus Christ was sufficient for all humanity. God got the sins of every man, woman, and child of every ethnic background, of every culture, of every nation, right from Adam, right to the last person that will ever be born, and he placed them upon Christ. Every single person's sin. Isaiah 53 and verse 6, let me give you a couple of verses. Isaiah 53 and verse 6, "All we like sheep have gone astray. We have turned everyone to his own way, and the Lord hath laid on him," that's the Lord Jesus Christ, "the iniquity of us all." Amen. Hebrews chapter 2 and verse 9, "But we see Jesus, who was made a little lower than the angels for the suffering of death, crowned with glory and honor, that he, by the grace of God, should taste death for every man." No, but we only believe that the Lord Jesus Christ died for some people. And here's the propitiation for our sins, and not for ours only, but also for the sins of the whole world. 2 Timothy chapter 2 and verse 4 down to verse 6. This is important. I'll give you one more verse. "Who will have all men to be saved and come unto the knowledge of the truth? For there is one God and one mediator between God and men, the man Christ Jesus, who gave himself a ransom for all to be testified in due time." So we can clearly see that the Scripture tells us, that the Lord tells us through his inspired word, that the Lord Jesus died for every man, woman, child, every single person, absolutely, completely. He got the sins of every single person, placed them upon Christ, and God's unrestrained wrath was poured out upon Christ as judgment for those sins. Now this is important, and the reason why I put a few verses in here to read Some people will disagree about this, and some people will say that the Lord Jesus Christ died for some and not for others. That's not true. That's clearly not true. Because when people say that, and when people disagree and deny that the Lord Jesus Christ died for all humanity, they are devaluing the work of Christ, and they're attacking the holiness of God. Because they are accusing God of something that he is not, which is partiality or being a respecter of persons. God is no respecter of persons. So it was all sufficient for all sin. It was all sufficient for all sinners. This brings us to our last point that we want to consider, and that is the fact that because it was all sufficient for all sin, and because it was for all sinners, it was a one-time sacrifice. Turn with me, please, to Hebrews chapter 9, verse 25. That's just a little bit down from our text. And some people have a real hard time understanding this, that it only happened once, and it won't happen again. It will not be duplicated. It will not be repeated. Hebrews chapter 9, verse 25, "Nor yet that he should offer himself often, as the high priest entered into the holy place every year with the blood of others. For then must he often have suffered since the foundation of the world. But now," what's that word? "Once in the end of the world hath he appeared to put away sin by the sacrifice of himself." Amen. Same as we read before in Hebrews chapter 10, verse 12. "But this man, after he'd made one sacrifice for sins forever." Okay? And that means, without going into this too deeply, but that means that Each Lord's Day in a Roman Catholic Church, the Lord Jesus is suffering thousands upon thousands upon thousands upon thousands of times when they take communion. And that can't happen according to Scripture, because he suffered once. He suffered once. It will not happen again. It doesn't be repeated. So it was a one-time sacrifice. So we've looked at the reason for it. We've considered the sufficiency of it, but I want to finish this evening, friends, by looking at our response to it. See, people can bring faithfully the Word of God years upon years upon years to ears, and they can present the gospel clearly, and they can preach God's Word faithfully and by the Spirit of God, in the Spirit of God. And this is divine truth that we've just looked at. This is so important. But none of it means a thing if you will reject Christ again. If you're a lost person and you're hearing this, if you go from this message like every other time that you've heard the gospel, and in your carnal heart you say no to God, none of hearing this is worth anything. Because just knowing the truth will not get you into heaven. Understanding the gospel, an intellectual grasp of the sacrifice of the Lord Jesus Christ, cleanses no sin. Right. Our response to it, this is vital. And I want you to really think carefully this evening about the choice that you make after hearing God's word. Matthew chapter 18, we're not going to turn there, represents an essential truth. There's one man and one master and two servants. And this one of the servants accumulates an unpayable debt. Absolutely unpayable. It's unattainable. It's out of his grasp. And he can't pay the master back. Friends, that represents such an essential truth, because that shows our sin debt to God. We can't pay it back. We can't repay it in righteousness. We can't repay it in religion. We can't repay it in good works. We can't repay it in tithing. We can't repay it in tracting. You can't do a thing to repay your sin debt to God. It is unattainable. So, one of the servants accumulates that unpayable debt. But, friends, I want to share with you a glorious truth. That though we have a debt that we cannot pay, the Lord Jesus Christ paid a debt he did not owe. And I want you to consider that this evening, friends. The fact, excuse me, the fact that the Lord Jesus Christ took your sin upon himself and died, was judged totally, completely, absolutely. Oh, friend, I'm pleading with you, turn to him. God demands payment. Payment must be made for your sin. It must be made. And you can either receive Christ's full payment. You can receive it because he paid a debt that he didn't owe, and you can receive it to pay in full what you owed, or otherwise you will pay for it eternally in the lake of fire. And you can't change that once you get to that. The Bible says to us that it is appointed unto men once to die, and after this, the judgment. There will be two types of people. Excuse me. There will be two types of people in Judgment Day. People who said to God, "Thy will be done," and obeyed his word. And then there will be people to God, to whom God will say, "Thy will be done." No one in hell can ever say that they didn't get the chance. No one in hell can ever say, "I couldn't believe." Friends, I just encourage you this evening, think about this truth. Think about what God did to you, did for you. Think about the sacrifice of Christ. It is greater. It is more. It is of the most value. The most important thing that happened in human history was not the invention of the car. It wasn't the discovery of an influenza vaccine. It wasn't the invention of the wheel. It wasn't electricity. It was when the Lord Jesus Christ gave himself upon the cross of Calvary. That is the most important event in history. I want to just bring one last response to light this evening. And that is the response of a saved person to the sacrifice of Christ. Hebrews chapter 10 and verse 14. How much more shall the blood of Christ, who through the eternal Spirit offered himself without spot to God, purge your conscience from dead works to serve the living God? And now as a Christian, you can do two things. You can show God how grateful you are for his sacrifice by serving him, by surrendering your life to his will, to giving whatever you have to his service. Or you can sit back, you can build up wood, hay, and stubble, and you can accomplish absolutely nothing for God, and you can arrive at Judgment Day and be saved by fire, as the Bible says. I would advise you this evening, Christians, to think very carefully about what you do with your life. Because yielding our bodies a living sacrifice, after all, is only our reasonable service. Let's pray this evening and we'll hand back to Pastor. Father, we are thankful and we're grateful, Lord, for who you are, Lord, and what you've done for us. Father, we thank you for the sacrifice that was made for us. We ask, Lord, that you would stir each heart this evening to understand the magnitude of Christ's love. In Jesus' name, amen.